Dr. Olus, Rear 16. Yes, you were telling me about your view of Shinosaki.
Well, I had already expressed the view that Shinosaki was really concerned, sincerely concerned with our welfare, and did all he could to help us. And I would reiterate that to him we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude. We were caught in Fujigo, whether we liked it or not. It was our choice to go. We were not forced to go. In my case, I selected to go because I preferred to go to Fujigo rather than become a guest of the Kempeitai and at the YMCA following my brothers. And so, you see, we had to make the best of things, and Shinosaki was the man who helped us to survive. We wanted to talk about the living conditions in Fujigo. I think I've touched a lot about that already, but maybe from the very beginning, when we first arrived in Fujigo and found that we were billeted in these long houses, these communal huts, we weren't very happy about it, but we had to adapt ourselves to the conditions. The women folk were busy doing the usual chores of, my wife, we had an armor with us. We were they had to look after the baby, the washing of the clothes. There was a communal kitchen, so there was not any cooking for us to do. Maybe the ladies took turns to do the cooking. But the men had to do such work as digging trenches for lavatories, filling up old lavatories, used ones, and reconstructing new ones. There were teams that would go out to make the road more passable. There was help, of course, from the PWD in that area, but our men were boys who had to go and help. They had to help to hack away paths to the allotments, to the land. And this is no easy task. Before we could reach our allotted lands, we had to gain access. And to gain access, we had to hack through brush, through bluka, bushes. We had to saw fallen logs, timber, trunks of trees, and lever these trunks away so that we could make some form of path. And we would have to direct the paths across streams where we could find a large trunk of a tree which had been felled, which could serve as a bridge. This is a type of work that was carried out. I also mentioned that it didn't take long before an anti-malarial unit was set up, and there was a team of oilers who went around trying to combat malaria, but which they didn't do very successfully. Now, conditions in living conditions in the community heart, so not at all comfortable. Not, no, as I said, there was no privacy, and disease spread quite fast, like dysentery. And there was a time when my wife went down with dysentery, and at that very time I got news from Singapore that Dr. Van Kylenberg, my father-in-law, was seriously ill in Chua Bukyo Yin, that is Kanan Karabao Hospital, with a heart condition. And he wanted me to, and his daughters to see him, because he thought he was dying. My wife couldn't go. She was ill, and she couldn't leave the baby. And so I traveled down with my sister-in-law, Barbara, by train to Shonan-do to see my father-in-law, who was in hospital in quite a serious state. He had something wrong with his heart. We stayed for a while, and he improved just for a day or two, not too long. And we had to come back again by train. And you know, these trains are not at all comfortable. And you stay awake all night. There's no chance that you can sleep. And it stops at every single station. And we could hear quite distinctly at our stop at from our stop at Lang Lang, the sound of gunfire in the jungles, not too far away, where the MPAJA were battling it out with the Japanese. We could hear shots, rifle shots. Anyway, we went back to Fujiko, and the way of transport was when we reached Bahao Town, we'd have the colony van there with Charlie Bola to pick us up and send us back. When I got back, I found my wife had recovered, because she was given emetine, a drug which is available then, but in the hospital. And then, after a period of time, was it 6 weeks or thereabouts, we went to our homes to cultivate. I think I have already touched on how we had to clear and I touched on how we had to carry our goods to our belongings to the house. Did I talk about the piano, my sister-in-law's piano?
No.
She insisted on bringing her piano along, and we had to get a team of young boys and pay them, oh, must have been 12 of them, to convey this piano to our hut. And it wasn't easy, I mean, having to negotiate all those logs, especially those logs across the stream. But they managed it. I mean, this wasn't a real pathway. For example, I had a bicycle, my wife had a bicycle, but we couldn't cycle along the path. We had to push the bicycles and then carry them over these logs until we reached the main road. Then we could hop on our bicycles and cycle away. I think I have told you about the problems we encountered with respect of water. We had to depend on wells for our water, and my lot, having been situated high up on a hill, made this a very difficult proposition, and we had to seek a place where water could be found, and there were a number of people who claimed to be water diviners would come along with their sticks and select a spot for where there would be underground water. Many a time we would dig and find nothing. In the end we got contractors from Bahar to dig at a low area, which is quite a distance away from the house, and we got pretty good water there. After we were in our house for about 3 or 4 months, my father and mother, my own father and mother, who were Red Stars, they joined us.
What is...
Red Star, they were first generation, and they were... they were considered by the Japanese as the first generation Europeans. And they were under surveillance. They had to go and report to the police every so often, and they all had to wear a red badge of sorts, indicating that they were under surveillance. And they were allowed to come up to stay with us in Bahau. My dad built a little extension to my hut, and he and my mom stayed there. He had many friends there, you see. Herman de Souza Sr. was a very good close friend of his, and one of his poker khakis. So I think he must have come to play poker with his friends. So one of the reasons, anyway. I mean, I was already occupied with my own family, and so busy, you know. And I did what I could for them. They were quite elderly. But they got a lot of help from now Professor Edmund Tay. Edmund used to come with his friend Michael and do little chores for my dad, chores which I was not able to do for them. He himself cultivated a little plot, and of course they both of them got sick too, as we did. But after a few months with us, together with all the others who sported these red badges, including the neighbor sisters who were the nursing staff of the hospital, were interned. They came along with lorries, and they had to return to Shonanto to be interned at Sime Road Camp. This is when we started beginning to feel that things were happening and that our hopes of liberation weren't too far off. Now, I'm digressing here, aren't I?
Sorry.
The facilities that were open to us there, what facilities were there? Apart from the hospital, which I have spoken at length on, there were, of course, schools. And these schools were run by the convents, exclusively by the convents. There was a school at Mukim 6, which I knew very well because I was there, and another school in Mukim 5, which I didn't know very well, except for my sojourn there, providing dental treatment for the settlers there, and most importantly, the convent children. There was a community hall, and it was at this community hall where we had to gather when summoned. For example, when it was the Emperor's birthday, we would have to go there and sort of pay our respects to the Emperor by singing the national anthem, the Kamigayo, bow to a Japanese flag, and things would be arranged. I recall that that was one big sort of a party arranged. There was a singing competition, something like a talent time. I know, I remember I won second prize.
What did you get?
Oh, I don't remember what prize I got, but it was just a competition. Some lady who sang beautifully, I think when Irish Eyes Are Smiling, she won the first prize, and I sang Shoeshine Boy, and I won second prize with that. And so it was, and there were lots of people who were also singing, playing guitar, playing instruments, and then finishing off with the dance. The thing is, the eerie thing was that when we finish late, you have to walk back to your hut, and we had a mile and a half to go, and at least half a mile of that was through this jungle path, through this path, and with a little kerosene lamp to guide her way, and I know, but my wife was terrified. She wouldn't talk to me. She would just walk, and until we got home. And then breathe a sigh of relief because, you know, wild animals lived nearby.
That was after you all have to take part in the celebration.
Yes, and the celebrations, yes. And we used to have these parties every so often. My place was every month, but every now and again we'd have something down at the center. Now, if there were any meetings I remember now, yes, the administration would want to address us and tell us a few things, and we would be summoned, and we would all meet there. We were, for example, I think, at one occasion summoned and told of the misdeeds of these boys who broke into the store and stole rice. And there was one occasion, and this was very close to the end. In fact, this was after the bombs had been dropped. The first bomb had been dropped. Anyway, it was near the end of the war when a very high-ranking Japanese officer came to the camp to address the settlers. Now, I didn't attend this meeting because at that time, everything I had available to sell had been expended. We were running short of money, nothing more to sell. And we were then in the jungle laying traps to catch things like wildfowl, mouse deer, anything that we could eat. That was we were told what we should do. We learned from trappers what to do, and it was a matter of building a hedge of twigs which would have to extend for 3 or 4 miles, no less, and with little openings, and each opening leading to a trap which we fabricated out of thin jungle rollers with bits of string which will set off the trap. And we were in the jungle, I think, for the second day, setting these traps, me and a few of my neighbors, when this Japanese officer made this visit and summoned all the settlers and gave a very fiery speech about the fact that the Japanese would be never ever surrender. They would be fighting, and they would fight. And I was told that the term used, you'd fight to the last blade of grass, to the last bird on the trees. And it was not long after that we heard about the surrender, but that I'll come to. Now, other facilities, amenities, were churches, of course. Now, there was, of course, the main church was a Roman Catholic church, one in each of the Mukims. It was at the entrance, it was right in the civic center. But further away inside, in the Protestant side, there was an area set aside for Protestants, an area set aside for the neutrals. And in the Protestant area, there was also a little hut which served as a church, and where a priest, an Indian padre, I remember him, was his name Thomas, with a very long beard, he conducted the services in Puchigo. We are Protestants. Although we lived in the Roman Catholic side, we are Protestants, and we went to the church there. And then, now, of course, we all celebrated Christmas, and there was one Christmas only when we were there. That was Christmas 1944, and you know, we wanted to make a go of it, and we kept lots of eggs to make cakes, and I think we probably bought a goose or something from Bahau. I said we couldn't get turkey, of course, and my little boy had to be visited by Santa Claus. There was no Robinsons, nowhere I could buy toys. So I made these toys for him out of beautifully shaped, naturally shaped log, trunk of a little tree, which had the shape of a horse's body. I fabricated a rocking horse for him. The head was a problem, but fortunately one of my neighbors called Tony Ryan was an artist, a very good artist, and he, from a plank, piece of plank, painted the head of a horse, which we cut out, and I nailed it on. And my little boy had a rocking horse from Santa Claus, and also a chair which I made. That was wonderful. And Christmas we celebrated at home with the Christmas lunch. Of course, we went to the church, and maybe we had a little rice wine, you know. But New Year's Eve, we had a big party, a big dance at my place, one of these usual things. That was a big success. Most of the settlers came along to take part in the New Year's Eve celebrations. Now, what else can I talk about?
How big was this communal hall?
The communal hall was quite a sizable structure. On one end of it, there was a stage. And then there were benches, I suppose, which could seat 300-400 people. It was all open on the sides of it. So, I mean, people, they had no seats, stood around. This is the very same hall which was used for the trial of the alleged collaborators after the Japanese had surrendered.
So it was not a building. It's just an open field.
No, it was a building. It had a roof. It had a roof, but no sides.
With wall or without?
No walls. No walls. Just a shed. An open shed with a roof, and on one side was a platform, which was used as a stage. And this is where, if the leaders wanted to meet the people, the leaders would be sitting on the stage, and the people would, and the settlers would sit down and listen to the leaders have debates or talks and things. You see, at that time I was not very interested in, I was not very interested in politics and things, so I think I must have skipped many of these meetings myself.
Did they organize any big function? Put up any performers on the stage?
There were times when, there was a time when Dr. Pagler came, I think I mentioned this before, with a team of boxers, and they held a boxing exhibition for the benefit of our boys. Earlier on, our boys used to do that, but once they got malaria, it was forbidden because it could have been fatal. If they were punched in the spleen, they would have died. They would have bled and died. So that was forbidden. Yes, they came. From time to time, there were functions organized.
What about a soccer team from Xiongnan?
No.
To visit the house?
There was no soccer field. No such facilities. Now,
and where was the school?